What and where to dine and drink in the Coachella Valley. Introducing you to eateries from family diners to fancy five-star restaurants and the home of the most interesting adult beverages. This is Delish Dish with Jeff Hawker on iHub Radio.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We are going to have a great show today. We've got a couple reoccurring guests that I've always enjoyed having on the show. In the first half an hour, we'll have Daryl Baum and co-owner with Osamu Sagata. They are Wabi Sabi Japan Living. And then in the second half hour, we'll have Megan Goring. She's the manager of the Coachella Valley Certified Farmers Markets throughout the Coachella Valley. I was going to let everybody know, too, if you want to help out during this time, as you know, the food banks are struggling and they need as many donations of both food and money as possible. The Jewish Federation of the Desert and Fine Food Bank have partnered for the Rapid Response Free Mobile Markets. If you would like to support these markets, you can go to jfedps.org, and you'll see at the top of the page it says Emergency Response, and you just click on that button. So I'm excited to have back on the show Daryl and Osamu. How are you doing today?
Good, Jeff. How are you doing?
We're doing great. And I've been kind of watching you guys. You've been posting a lot of videos and stuff on Facebook and, you know, really gearing up for opening up, as it were. I mean, you guys still have been open during this period of time. How long have you been engaged with, doing some things during this period of time?
Well, immediately, once we were closed, I sat down and said, okay, what do we need to do to continue to engage our customers? And so we came up with the idea of doing virtual cooking shows. And so every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. and then on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m., we provide a virtual cooking demonstration. I think that you came to one of our in-store cooking demonstrations on Saturdays. They were always at 4 p.m. on Saturdays, and we'd have 10 to 20 people in store. So we just wanted to continue on and share, you know, the Japanese cooking, Japanese culture with our customers and with the Coachella Valley. So it's and we came up with different ideas. So in addition to that, Jeff, we also did and it's ongoing, is food drives. One food drive that we're working on right now happens to be with Well in the Desert. And when people donate money on our website specifically for that food drive, we buy the food from our food distributor and we donate it to Well in the Desert. And it's essentially like coming into our store and buying food from our store and donating it directly to Well in the Desert. And then a third thing that we've been doing is ramen takeout. So we're guest chefs over at On the Mark, and we make ramen, and people are able to have it every Sunday once, and they'll come by and pick it up and take out.
I am so happy to hear that you support Well in the Desert. I go there quite often and drop off water and shoes and socks and toiletries and all that kind of stuff. Especially now as we approach summer, the needs increase. And there have been times when I've gone over to their offices over on Cali and Celia, and you know, it's a hot and a cold sheltering place, and there'll be like 60 people in their facility when it's 117 degrees outside. And you know, it just warms your heart when you know you're there to help them and support the organization.
No, and the whole team there is just fantastic. They do such a great job, and there's just such a need. We've also worked with Fine Food Bank and with Desert AIDS Project Food Assistance Program, but right now we're focusing on Well in the Desert for this current food drive. So that need just will continue so long as the economy is how it is. So yeah.
We're talking with Daryl and Osamu with Wabi Sabi Japan Living, and that's their website as well, wabisabijapanliving.com. They're located at 258 North Palm Canyon Drive in the city of Palm Springs. So yeah, I was just kind of clicking through your Facebook page and looking at all the cooking shows and stuff. Are you guys currently open for retail sales?
Yes, so we are open for curbside pickup only. So that means that people will order, giving us a phone call or order on our website. We also do FaceTime shopping, so we'll take people. It's an absolute blast. We do that several times a week. We'll take people through the store and go shopping with them via FaceTime, and it's really just a lot of fun because we're able to connect with our customer one-on-one that way. But again, we're doing free local delivery, curbside, and we're shipping as well. Unfortunately, we can't have anybody in the store at this time, as all of the stores in Palm Springs right now.
Well, and I'll tell you, your website is extensive. You have a page just dedicated to your sauces. So tell the listeners about that page and how you can buy products there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So on our website, you can click on groceries or on shop and go to groceries. And all the different items that we use for the cooking demonstrations, whether it was months past for in-store or the virtual cooking demonstration, all those products, those food products, you can buy from us. And so you can buy them online. If you have questions about their uses, we love talking with our customers. We miss the face-to-face, but we're great with talking over the phone or in FaceTime as well. But everything that we have, from rice, ponzu, dashi, miso, curry, just a ton of different food products, Japanese food products, are available on our website.
Yeah, things like Layu hot oil. What is that?
Oh, my gosh. So there's certain things that are essential in our kitchen. So that's one thing that brings up the heat. It's chili and sesame oil. And so it just takes a few drops and brings up the heat on anything that you're eating. So you can do it to cook with, or you can use it after you cook, more as a like oil topping to bring up the heat. And then, of course, there's crunchy garlic. That's our top seller. We actually sell more crunchy garlic, which is it's garlic that's in a sesame oil base that's crunchy in texture and amazing flavor. We sell more than Japanese grocery stores in this one location. So if we're apples to apples against another grocery store, customers here buy more than others. It's just the best product ever. You've bought it before, Jeff, haven't you? The crunchy garlic?
I haven't, but I'm going to now. Well, and here's the other thing is you may see products in a grocery store, but you don't know how to use it. You know, you guys have the expertise that can explain how the oil is used and how some of the sauces are used and how it pairs with different products.
Yes, yeah. So we're, people are exploring. We have time now at home to explore different recipes. And so if you are cooking an Asian recipe or a Japanese recipe, call us with questions. We're here to help the community. That's what we... I come from a retail background, and I think one of the best companies out there is Nordstrom's with their customer service level. And it's all about just providing service to our clients. And we can inform you about the different techniques, about the different sauces, about the different uses, and also talk to you about different recipes.
I have an interesting story about Nordstrom's. I used to work there in San Francisco Center. And when I was hired, you go through employee training, and they hand you the employee handbook, and it's one page written on the page, use your own judgment. What their philosophy was at Nordstrom's is that they wanted to empower their employees so that they would take care of their customers that were coming into the store, rather than oppressing them and saying, you have to do it this way. It's like, you have the power to do whatever you need to do to make that customer happy. And I know you guys do that too. I mean, you guys are so vivacious and so fun to talk to, and you're so passionate about what you do.
Well, and everybody that comes into a store, it's like they're coming into our home. And it's a very personal thing for us to help customers. We build the relationships not just for the sales. It's because we enjoy people. We've built our customer database to almost a few thousand now, and it's just because of the relationships that have been developed. All of our friends here in Palm Springs have come from, well, I mean, we have many other friends here too, but many of the new ones have come from our store. We just have such a great time with it. It's So if you treat people as if they are guests in your home, everything else follows.
We'll get into talking about some of the sake and the knives and stuff that you sell, and also the chopsticks. But explain to our listeners where you're located.
Okay, so in downtown Palm Springs, we're a little hidden gem. When you're going south on Palm Canyon, you pass Alejo, then you come up to Alejo, then Amado. On the right hand or west side, there's the Hyatt Hotel. We're just across from the Hyatt Hotel, and there's a driveway into a parking lot on the east side of Palm Canyon. And there's four businesses back here. One is Joseph Saliba Salon, and then we're right next door to it. Tonga Hut's in the front, NYPD Pizza's in the front. But we're one of the businesses next to the parking lot. So you're able to drive in, park right next to our store, walk in, and we help you out.
Well, and I tell you, you truly are transported when you walk through those curtains and come into the store. You really do feel like you're in Japan.
Oh, yeah. Our trips to Japan have been, we go to visit Sam's family every year. And so we're taking this year off, of course, with everything happening. But we go shopping a lot. We enjoy shopping. We're avid shoppers. And we really just looked at, you know, the stores there and really brought back the look, feel, the products, everything from Japan to our store. And so it's things that we shop for when we're there, to be honest. These are things that we are passionate about.
You've been posting on your Facebook page these really fantastic photos of Japan. For a lot of Americans, you know, the statistic in America is that only 25% of the American population has a passport. And, you know, that whole story, that's a whole nother conversation about why that is. But people have a perception about different countries that they've never been to. But Japan is full of natural beauty and style and class and culture.
It is. It is. And I look at it from when we were in elementary and high school, and even some of us into college, Western culture, Western civilization was the focus of studies. And so we didn't have that exposure to Eastern culture. And it's just because I started dating Sam 14 years ago that I was exposed to Eastern culture, to be honest. And it's not something that's on everybody's mind. The countries in Asia are very unique and different. Japan happens to be a country that I speak to as far as this rich in culture and history. It's the culture itself is about oneness and about community. And that's part of the reason why, like, when you're there, people in the springtime and wintertime, they have a cold or they have allergies, they're wearing a face mask. They're doing it before us.
Right.
And it's because they're concerned for others.
Daryl, yeah. if you and Sam can stick around, we're gonna take a commercial break and come back to you.
Okay, great.
We're talking with Daryl and Sam from Wabi Sabi Japan Living. Their website is wabisabijapanliving.com. And we'll be back in a minute. We'll talk all about knives and sake and more Japan culture. You're listening to Delish Dish on iHub Radio.
If you're curious about the best culinary experiences in the desert, we're about to feed your ears and taste buds. This is Delish Dish on iHub Radio. Now, here's Jeff Hawker.
We are in conversation with Daryl and Sam with Wabi Sabi Japan Living. Now, also on your website, you also have an extensive selection of sake.
Yes. Yeah. So, a little story about sake. When, you know, growing up in Southern California, you go out for sushi and you have hot sake, and it can be almost like battery acid at times. And you have sake bombs when you're in college and such. Well, Sake is actually a, there's two types of sake. There's premium and there's table sake. And what's often in these Japanese restaurants is table sake. And that's just been around for like a couple thousand years. Premium sake are actually very sophisticated, very elegant, fruit notes, floral notes. You serve it chilled or one certain ones that are a little bit bolder with notes of like mushroom or such. You serve hot. But all of ours are fruit notes and floral notes served chilled, refrigerated temperature. It's just I'll go home after work and I'll either have a glass of Pinot Grigio or also have a little bit of Shindo sake right for that evening, and I just pour it into a wine glass, and it's just like any other alcohol beverage. It's just beautiful in its flavors.
One of the things that I enjoy about sake is unlike wine, it has different textures and also consistencies.
Yeah, so although there's just four ingredients, water, rice, yeast, and mold, they're able to adjust and create these textures. So, for example, if you don't filter if the sake is not filtered with charcoal, you actually get a full mouth feel, which is in reference to there's a, like almost like a glycerin texture to the sake as you drink it. There's a roundness in the mouth with that. That's also with Nama, which is unpasteurized sake. And then also with the Nigori sake. Nigori sake has the rice particulate, so that's always going to be on the semi-sweet side.
Now, of course, right now, like you said, you're not allowed to have customers in the store. But tell the listeners a little bit about the classes that you do have and the tastings so that when you do open full-time that they can enjoy.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So the classes on Saturdays are hosted by Sam for the cooking part. Well, I'll start off and talk a little bit about the history and a little bit about the background. And then, Sam, do you want to talk a little bit about what you do as far as the cooking part?
So based on my childhood, my mother's recipe, Japanese cooking, so easy, simple dish I normally introduce. This past Wednesday, we made a summer salad with the cucumber salad and also a spinach salad. And
they're just very fast and easy dishes. And the ingredients that you use for that, we sell them here. So you won't find them at Albertsons or at Walmart or at Jensen's or anywhere. So you'll find them here. And so, yeah. So that's with our cooking demonstration.
Yeah, and also each show we introduce one of the sake or beer we sell here. So
yeah. And that's both for the virtual and then also when we were in store with people with the outside of the shelter in place. Now for the sake tasting, we have actually a space in store that's a bar. We have the smallest bar probably on the West Coast, and the ABC requires us to create a bar environment. And we do a flight of three sake for $10, and you're able to test and try different sake that we carry. And if you're interested in buying them, we have them for sale, and you can buy a bottle and take it home with you. We'll continue to do that because we use disposable cups. So when we go to reopen, we'll be fine as far as following all the safety measures. In regards to safety measures, our customers are our number one priority, as we discussed earlier. It's they're our friends. They've become like family to us. So the idea of anybody becoming ill would just be it's mortifying. So those are the two things that we do in store.
Question: if you come and you do a tasting, let's say you do a flight, can you buy a bottle of sake in the store and then drink that bottle while you're there?
Yeah, so the bar area, you can drink in the bar area. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So people sometimes will sit down and enjoy sake and continue talking with us. We've had some customers come in from this one couple from Salt Lake City. They're huge sake fans, and so they just wanted to sit and enjoy the sake with us. And so we sat for a couple hours, and we just enjoyed talking about sake and their experiences and drinking sake. And it was all in our little bar.
Yeah, that was a couple hours.
Yeah.
And so much fun.
And tell us about your collection of chopsticks.
So when we're in, a little backstory on that, everything we hear has a backstory. So in, when we're in Tokyo, we love going to Shibuya. We go to Tokyo Hands, and they have this massive section of chopsticks. I mean, the biggest, like, wall area. And so when we were opening up the store, I said, we have to have, like, a wall of chopsticks. We sell around 600 pairs of chopsticks a year. And we have this, it's about a four-foot section filled with different chopsticks, whether they be in sets or individual. And they're all from the city called Obama, which that's an epicenter for chopstick manufacturing. It's on the Sea of Japan on Western Honshu. But they're really just all different variety, from palm spring colors of green and orange to very culturally specific colors and to
Daryl,
geometric shapes. Yeah,
that our time is up. So I've got to close out the segment. Thank you guys for being on the show today. The website, the website again is wabisabijapanliving.com, and we'll have you in the studio when things open up. You're listening to Delish Dish on iHub Radio.
Don't you hate that moment when you're like, where should we go to eat? And you realize you're probably just going to settle for the same old. Because, well, it's just easy. Ready to experience a taste of the Coachella Valley? Okay, you're in the right place. It's Delish Dish with Jeff Hawker on iHub Radio.
Our next guest is Megan Goering. She is the manager of the Coachella Valley Certified Farmers Market, and their website is certifiedfarmersmarkets.org. How are you doing today, Megan?
I'm very well. Thank you, Jeff.
I'll tell you, I always enjoy talking with you because we have a similar view of the world, that it's so important to preserve, protect, and also think about future generations.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We are on the same page.
So you guys just had a fantastic feature in the Desert Sun, a front page feature, talking all about how you guys were able to raise a good chunk of change for your summer operations. Tell us about that, and then tell us about where you're at and what times and locations and all that.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So I'll just start by saying the last 2.5 months have been quite an adventure for us at the farmers market. Because
sure.
The second week in March, our area went into shelter in place, and we shut all of our markets down, all three of our outdoor locations down out of an abundance of caution. And then that following week, certified farmers markets in California were designated as essential services. And so we petitioned all of our host cities to reopen with modified protocols. And it was a lot of work. And the protocols are really pretty challenging to put into place, but we really felt like we wanted to go the extra mile and protect our customers. And so we have a whole laundry list of things that we've been doing that are totally new for us, including a boundary around the market and single points of entry exit, hand washing stations, no touch shopping, and the list goes on and on, including mandatory masks. And so we're doing things very, very differently, but that ensures that our customers get really clean produce and we have physical distancing the entire experience. And it really has worked well, and we feel really good about what we've done. It's been a lot of effort. One of the side effects that has been a little bit challenging for us is that some of our participants, for a variety of different reasons, when we went into our modified protocols, decided that they couldn't or didn't want to participate. So we lost about 14 of our regular participants. And because we're a nonprofit, that really cut into our into the money that we were getting that keeps the market running itself, the operating costs. And so we took a look at our bottom line at the end of April and realized that we were going to have a really hard time making ends meet through the summer. And so we decided to run a GoFundMe campaign, which we have never done. We've been open since 2008, and it's never really been necessary, but these are extraordinary times. There's another market up in Napa that had done this over the past couple of months, and they managed to raise $10,000 in the span of 2 months. And so I was encouraged that it was possible, but I had no idea kind of how things were going to go. I went ahead and put the whole page together and posted it on social media at 5:30 on a Wednesday. It's been just over 2 weeks ago that I went ahead and posted that. And in the first few hours on social media, we made about $2,000. And then the next day, we sent out an e-newsletter to all of the supporters of the Palm Springs Cultural Center, which is a nonprofit that's over the market. And we were flooded with amazing, generous donations of all sizes. Within 41 hours, we made our goal, which was $10,000. And it's just been so gratifying and really overwhelming to see the incredible support this community has shown for our certified farmers markets. And I think it really shows that they also, just like you and I, Jeff, really value high quality produce and people that raise that produce, and also artisan food made lovingly by individual families. And they don't want to see that disappear. And that was kind of what we were facing. And so it's just really, really been encouraging to see that.
Explain to us what that means to be a certified farmer's market.
Yeah. And it is a very specific designation. What it means is that all of our agriculture participants, all of our farms, have to be registered in the county where they're growing their produce, each of their locations. They have to register with the county Department of Agriculture and list everything that they're growing in the season that it grows in. They have to pay a yearly fee, and they have to be open to having an inspector come out and make sure that they actually are growing what they say they're growing. So for us as consumers, we can realize that it's a certified farmer's market, so that what you see on the table at each farm stand actually came from a real farm, a real place that exists, and they are being inspected to make sure that they're doing what they say they are.
And I would imagine your farmers are all, the size of the farms are all different sizes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
runs
they really
the
vary. I mean, yes, I have farms as small as a little tiny greenhouse on the side of someone's property. I have one farmer who actually grows indoors under grow lights. I have a mushroom farmer that grows in a completely closed environment. Mushrooms have to grow in a really specific moisture and temperature environment. And so, you know, anything as small as a single room to probably my largest farm is maybe 10 acres. So they're, you know, in the whole scheme of things, they're a lot smaller than a big commercial ag operation. But they also, a lot of times, are very diversified, which is really neat. And of course, you see that on the table. You see an amazing rainbow variety of produce.
And for somebody who's never gone to a certified farmer's market, what's great about it is a lot of the produce that you get in markets are grown ahead of time. They're not grown to full ripeness. And so you're eating produce that sometimes has chemicals on it to extend its life. Whereas if you go to a farmer's market, you're getting the freshest produce and, you know, without pesticides, without all the chemicals they put on them. And it's better for your health. It's better for the environment.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. I remember, Jeff, that we talked about that a lot of times at the grocery store, the produce that's sold to the commercial marketplace, they're very specific varieties, and they're grown because those varieties are very uniform in their color and in their shape, and also their ability to last a long time in transit. So those are sort of business decisions that people are making. They aren't necessarily the tastiest, right. And oftentimes they're not necessarily the most nutritious, because some of the varieties that have the most taste, the most flavor, the most nutrition are very delicate, and it's really difficult to get those varieties to a commercial marketplace because of all the different points of transit that they have to make before they get to the store. And so you're absolutely right. Shopping at the farmer's market, it is the most direct connection besides growing your own in your own backyard. It's absolutely the freshest and most delicious that you're going to taste.
I always use the example of tomatoes. I mean, when you buy a tomato in the grocery store anymore, there's no flavor.
Yeah, that's really common, especially if you're someone that grew up with a parent that did a lot of gardening, or you had a grandparent that had a big garden, and you have like really visceral memories of from your childhood of eating something like right out of the ground.
Right.
It's so hard to find that with grocery store produce.
We're talking with Megan Goering. She is the manager of Coachella Valley Certified Farmers Market. Give us an idea of some of the unique farmers that people can find at the farmers markets that you couldn't find anywhere else.
Yeah, well, I did refer to one of them earlier. Canyon Creek Mushrooms is a brand new farm that we just contracted with at the beginning of this year. They started at our Palm Desert market on Wednesdays, which is, just to give you a heads up on that, our Palm Desert and La Quinta markets are seasonally closed right now. They close at the end of April. But they started in Palm Desert because they didn't have enough product. I warned them that once they came to Palm Springs, they were going to be inundated by fans that were going to wipe them out. And so they waited until they had enough product to service my Palm Springs customers. And I was absolutely right. They have been incredibly popular, and they have, I think, 5 or 6 varieties of oyster mushrooms. They have brown button mushrooms and also this amazing mushroom called the lion's mane mushroom. And they're just delicious and have this amazing umami flavor that if you are looking for a substitute for meat, especially that lion's mane, that it can be prepared and it actually tastes kind of meaty. And so it fulfills a lot of those requirements for people that are looking for an alternative.
Is it something solid enough that you could barbecue it?
So what the uses for that one, I myself have put it in a pan. Now, I will say that I used butter with mine, but you could use another kind of oil, garlic and onion. And to me, it tasted a lot like chicken, like you could use it in a chicken recipe. I have another friend, my coworker, Charles, actually has a great recipe for crab cakes that uses the lion's mane. It kind of, you can shred it and you can also cut it into chunks. It's an amazing It's amazing fungi. It's a fantastic fungi. So I highly recommend giving that a try. Another farm that I would love to highlight is a farm that comes to us seasonally, and they just came back a couple of weeks ago for the first time this season, and that's Murray Family Farms. They travel the farthest. Most of our farms are within 100 miles of the Coachella Valley, and some of them much closer than that. But Murray Family Farms drives all the way from Bakersfield. And they are a specialty crop farm, and their main specialty is fruit. And so right now, what we're getting from Murray Family Farms is incredible cherries. So many varieties.
Oh,
there's a new variety
cherries
added every week. And this week, the famous GG1. Some of them have kind of funny poetic names. This one, I'm not quite sure what GG1 refers to, but Stephen Murray, who is the owner of the farm, is an incredibly busy young guy because they have many, many farmers markets they attend. He's actually going to be there on Saturday. And he's incredibly knowledgeable. He's traveled all around the world looking for unique varieties that can be adapted to his farm in Bakersfield. So if you're kind of a fruit nerd, I highly recommend coming on Saturday and talking up Stephen Murray for a few minutes because he's cool.
Can you stick around for a couple minutes?
I'd love to.
Okay, stick around. We're going to take a short commercial break. We're talking with Megan Goering. She's the manager of the Coachella Valley Certified Farmers Markets. Their website is certifiedfarmersmarketsplural.org. You're listening to Delish Dish on iHub Radio. And we also want to thank Brand for being our producer today. We're going to talk a little bit at the end of the show. We'll be right back.
You need not be a foodie to listen to Delish Dish. Just keep an open mind and have a good appetite for finding the best there is to eat and drink, from the funky to the fancy, across desert cities. Here's your gastro guide, Jeff Hocker, on iHub Radio.
We've been talking with Megan Goering. She is the manager for the Coachella Valley Certified Farmers Markets. And we were just starting to talk about the different markets and the when they're open. And I believe you, don't you have an announcement?
Yes. So we have been working diligently with the city of Palm Springs. As I mentioned, we raised the funds that we needed to open our summer market and keep it running throughout the hot months. It's really critical that we have this indoor location. It is impossible to run our markets in the heat of the summer.
Especially on outdoors. Asphalt.
Yeah, definitely. So we're so thrilled, and we have a wonderful partnership with the city of Palm Springs. They really are our biggest sponsor. And so we are moving into the Palm Springs Pavilion on June the 6th. So the first Saturday in June is when we're going to move indoors. And in the past, sometimes we've taken a break between the outdoor market and the indoor market. We are not doing that this year. So the last outdoor market is going to be the last Saturday of May, the 30th. And then the next week, we're going straight into the pavilion, which is really nice because it's going to get hot all of a sudden. We've had some nice weather this week, but it's going to warm up. So I'm sure everyone will be really relieved. I did want to point out one other thing, that we are going to maintain most of our physical distancing practices, and we're still going to have everybody wearing masks, at least until the city tells us that we don't have to do that. But we are going to maintain that. One of the things that's going to be different is that we don't have our 50 customer rule anymore. And so we're not going to have people lining up outside when we go to the pavilion, and that'll be a relief. Once we move inside, we can drop the 50 customer rule.
Well, and two, if people are tending to gather, you just politely ask them, shop around, keep it moving. It's just like, I'd gone to the beaches a couple times in San Diego, and the boardwalks of the beaches were closed, but the beach was open. You just couldn't gather. And, I think that's, everybody just needs to be smart. They need to listen to what the experts are telling them. And you guys are being proactive about it and making sure that people are being taken care of.
Yeah, our outdoor customers over the past 2 months have gotten used to the way that we've run things. We have physical distancing markers on the ground, and we'll have that inside the pavilion. We're going to put down painter's tape to remind people what 6 feet apart looks like so that there won't be any confusion about that. So we're going to continue our diligent efforts to keep both our participants and our customers safe throughout this summer at the farmers market.
Will you be having any kind of live music like you've done in the past?
I hope so. Yeah, we're getting ready to put our map together. I have to talk to all of my participants and find out who's going to be participating and who's not. And we may. We'll have to, again, we're still in negotiations with the city about all those little details because we haven't had live entertainment through the past couple of months. But I know that people miss that. And I know that my musicians are very eager to come back and play. So we'll see. I hope so.
Well, I'll tell you, you see all these people, doing these Zoom events and Facebook Live. But when you don't have an audience to applaud, it kind of loses a little bit.
It is. I know. I so admire all the creativity of all of the musicians that I know, to see how they've managed to continue doing what they do best in these very unusual circumstances. They deserve our applause even more so than before.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. The trick is that we still need to continue to encourage our customers to shop efficiently and then get on back to their homes. And that's so opposite of what we've always encouraged in the past. We've always encouraged people to linger and hang out and enjoy conversations with their neighbors. And we still can't really do that yet. We really need to encourage our customers to get everything they need and then get back home again. So it's tricky to find that balance. It's been quite an adventure.
It certainly has. Well, Megan, thank you so much for being on the show today. We will have you in the studio when we're allowed to do that again. Again, Megan Goering is the manager of the Coachella Valley Certified Farmers Market, and you can go to certifiedfarmersmarkets.org to find out all the information. Thanks again.
Of course, my pleasure. Thank you, Jeff.
We'll talk to you soon, and be safe and sane. So one of the things I wanted to talk about sort of at the end of the show was, Brian, kind of what have you been experiencing with all this? And, you know, is there any restaurants that you enjoy doing takeout with or anybody that you want to promote?
You know, that's a really good question. Oh, I got to take off this mask first because I feel like I'm talking to a darn mask instead of someone, you know. I gotta say, to be honest, I've been doing a lot of fast food, unfortunately, and I know I should go out and do more local restaurants, but I think one that I've actually liked was Southern Princess or something like that. It's a restaurant that does Southern food, not soul food, over in Cathedral City. And I really actually...
Southern Belle, I think it's called. the food there is fantastic. If you like bacon, oh my God, that's the place to go.
I need to have some of their bacon because I actually really do like bacon and all that stuff. And I've been craving some really good bacon.
Yeah.
And the Cottage, too, in Desert Hot Springs is really good. I've actually liked their biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and gravy recipe is always good for a very productive morning of just watching Dark Shadows because I've been doing that all day.
I love Dark Shadows. That's a great show. So a couple of the places that I like, the other night I went to Bill's Pizza, and they've been really busy. They've got a couple locations here in the Coachella Valley. But also I wanted to tell everybody that Black Book on Arenas Road in Palm Springs is now open again for takeout only, but they've changed their menu around a little bit, and their burgers and their fries are fantastic.
Oh, yes.
I got the Juicy Lucy, and it's a double patty. You know, I like mine medium rare with bacon and cheese and little hickory sauce.
Oh, that's so good. I'm going to go get some after this.
Yeah.
'Cause that sounds so good. The one time I had it, I was like, okay, I've heard mixed things about this place, and I had it. I'm like, what are these people talking about? It's really good. This is really good food. And the burger itself was just so juicy. Oh, boy.
And their chicken wings are amazing.
I gotta have
so
them.
If you're interested, go to blackbook.com. And as you know, things are slowly opening. So everybody out there, be safe. Be sane, respect your neighbor, you know, just be kind to everybody. We need to be tolerant and kind during this period of time. I want to thank my guest today, Daryl Baum, and his husband, co-owner Osama Sagata, and they are with Wabi Sabi Japan Living. Their website is wabisabijapanliving.com and also certifiedfarmersmarkets.org. Thank you, Megan, for being on the show. God bless everybody. Have a great summer, and we'll be back with you next week with a new show. You're listening to Delish Dish on iHub Radio.